Well, gang, it is great to be together with you. Let me add my welcome to those that you have already received. Those of you who are catching this online, maybe through the Christian Assembly Los Angeles app, maybe through our website, or maybe you're catching it Sunday morning, great to be with you as well. To all the moms, happy Mother's Day. And so we just want to honor you. So let's applaud the goodness of Mom's Law. And we just thank you, God, for your work through moms. Also, great to be back from the men's retreat. Men that were up there, great to be there. Yeah, it was really powerful time. Not too many hamstrings pulled during the basketball and soccer, but it was great, and God was at work. Well, we are jumping into week number 3 of our series on the Holy Spirit, who He is, what He does, and why that matters for your life. In February, the Wall Street Journal called Major League Baseball player Jeff Mathis one of the most hotly anticipated free agents in baseball. But here is what is surprising about Jeff Mathis. He's a catcher. He's 36 years old, and he is one of the worst hitters in the history of baseball. In fact, among all players with at least 2,500 plate appearances dating back to 1876, only one person has a worse batting average than this guy, and the other guy played baseball in 1901. And Jeff Mathis just signed a contract for $6.25 million with the Texas Rangers as one of the worst hitters of all time. What gives with that? He is horrible at offense, historically horrible, one of the worst ever, maybe one of the worst that will ever be and that will ever play the game, but he is very gifted at defense. He's an elite, what they call an elite pitch framer, and what that means is that he has the ability to receive the ball in such a way that it increases the likelihood that a borderline pitch will be called a strike, even though it's right on the edge, called a strike by the umpire. He's great at throwing out base runners, and he's great at blocking pitches in the dirt, which then keeps it from the runners being able to advance. In fact, he's great at what they call calling the game, so he knows exactly where to have the pitchers pitch the ball in such a way that that particular hitter will have a hard time hitting it, or if they do hit it, will just ground it out to one of the infield players. In other words, he makes everybody around him exponentially better. The pitching staff that he catches for, their ERA lowers whenever he is behind the plate. His contribution to the team is not that he thinks that he's gifted at everything. In fact, he's historically horrible at batting, and yet he's gifted at one thing, and he makes that one thing the most for the rest of the team and their mission together. So this weekend, we are going to focus on the Holy Spirit and His desire to empower us with spiritual gifts. Not to be great at everything, but to be gifted at something for the sake of the mission of the team. We're going to consider that, but before we do, let's pray. So God, we thank You that You are a God who loves us and sees us. Lord, those who are under the sound of my voice, wherever they might be, I pray, God, You draw them to Yourself. Those that don't know You, that they would come to know You. Those who wonder what You're like and if You're good, would they hear of Your goodness even as we talk about that You are the God who gives gifts, spiritual gifts. Lord, for those that know You, would You open up our hearts and minds, not just to learn about who You are and what You do, but would You apply it to our life now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On your way in, hopefully you got a bulletin. If you did, you can click it open. You can flip it open to this little center section. Those of you online can click it open to the center section as well. You'll see the teaching notes that are there that you can fill out throughout our time together as we go. In this series, the question that I want to bring us back to time and time again is this. If the Holy Spirit left your life for some reason, if the power of the Holy Spirit left your life, if the power went out of your life, would you notice? And the second question is, would anybody around you notice? Would you notice? Would anybody around you notice? Well, the Holy Spirit, according to God's Word, empowers followers of Jesus with something that are called spiritual gifts. Now, how can we define a spiritual gift? Here's one definition. A spiritual gift is an ability given by the Holy Spirit to an individual to build up the church, meaning the community of believers, and empower us on our mission together. That it's given to an individual, but it's not just given for the individual, to empower and build up the church and our mission together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 and on, it says this, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." And so God doesn't want us to be uninformed about the reality of spiritual gifts. Goes on in verse 4, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of that same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Just as a body, the one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ." Now, this passage that we just read, it's like a shot of espresso. It packs a lot of power into a small space, right? A lot is going on here. God does not want us to be uninformed about the gifts of the Spirit. He wants us to not only understand them generally, but He also wants us to be not uninformed about your specific spiritual gift. Now, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you're not a follower of Christ, you get kind of an insider's look into what God is going to want to do in your life as you come to know Christ, not only to save you, but also to give you a spiritual gift to use for good in the world around you. But if you are a follower of Christ, you have at least one spiritual gift, possibly more. Notice here it says, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given." And this brings us to the first teaching note, which is this. Each one means everyone gets one. Now, some of us, what we can feel like is, no, you don't understand my life. I think God, like, He didn't see me. He passed over me. He didn't give me any spiritual gift. No, according to God's word, if you're a follower of Christ, that the Holy Spirit has given to each one, that means you are included at least one spiritual gift. You have at least one spiritual gift. Do you know what the special ability the Holy Spirit has given you to use by faith for the common good? If you do not know what your spiritual gift is, not just know, kind of, I know that they exist out there somewhere, and I know there's some passages in the Bible that talk about it. If you right now cannot think and name of what your spiritual gift is, it's almost the same as not having heard of them. If you don't know how to make it reality in your life, the first step in knowing what your spiritual gift may be is that you need to hear some of the options. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to simply read to you some of the spiritual gifts that are listed in Scripture and see if maybe one or a couple of these stand out to you as something that the Holy Spirit has given to you. So the Bible speaks about the spiritual gift of mercy, of encouragement, of helps, of leadership, of teaching, service, giving, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, spiritual gift of healing, of wisdom, hospitality, evangelism, prophecy, the gift of faith, discernment, administration, exhortation, among others. So all of those are just directly from God's word. Maybe a few of those stood out to you. There are other ways that you can determine or kind of begin to reflect on what your spiritual gift might be. One of those ways is to take just a simple online assessment. In fact, this week, if you go online, this is your homework for you. If you do not know what your spiritual gift is, up online at cachurch.com, I found what I consider to be the best spiritual gifts test that I've ever found. The definitions are strong. You go through, it's really just a reflection where you answer some questions. So if you go to cachurch.com, click on that. It'll take you to spiritualgiftstest.com. And then you take that little assessment. Now, the assessment is only as good as you are honest, right? Because you're the one that's assessing how God normally works in your life. So that's one way, is that you can go online, take spiritualgiftstest.com. You can link to it through the cachurch.com website. Another way, and I actually like this way even better, is ask others around you who are followers of Jesus, maybe those in your life group, what they think your spiritual gifts are. I particularly find this way to be helpful because sometimes somebody who has a spiritual gift, they don't identify it as a spiritual gift because they think, well, all Christians are like this. So you're super merciful all the time, and you're like, well, aren't all Christians merciful? No, I know some Christians are not very merciful, right? They might not have the gift of mercy that you have. Or somebody that has the spiritual gift of encouragement, they're like, well, that's not really a spiritual gift, right? I mean, shouldn't we all be encouraging? Yes, we should all be encouraging, but some people are so encouraging, so usually encouraging, empowered by God's work in their life, that they would have the spiritual gift of encouragement. Another way to assess if you have it is this, is to just be really honest with yourself. And then as you assess it online or maybe with your friends that follow Jesus trying to figure out, does your understanding of your spiritual gift match objective reality? Now, here's what I mean by that. If you think that you have the spiritual gift of mercy, but everybody's afraid to be around you, you probably don't have the spiritual gift of mercy, right? So you're like, I got the gift of mercy. And everybody's like, I'm terrified of you. Well, then you probably don't have the gift of mercy. If you think, well, I have the gift of administration, but your life is constantly disorganized, you probably don't have that gift, right? You probably are not great at organizing and administrating things if your own life is complete chaos. If you think that you have the gift of leadership, but no one wants to follow you, right? And you think, well, it's all their fault. If they would just see me differently, they would understand that I do have this spiritual gift. Well, maybe that just means you don't have that gift. Now, just because you want a spiritual gift doesn't mean you have the spiritual gift, right? You might desire a spiritual gift that you don't have. And that's not wholly bad, but you need to just be a little bit objective as you check that. Now, question that I often get is, can you ask the Holy Spirit to give you a specific spiritual gift that you desire? You might desire a specific spiritual gift. Can you ask the Holy Spirit for that particular gift? And here's the answer. Yes. Yes. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Now listen, I'm going to do a whole weekend coming up several weeks down the line, just talking about tongues and prophecy. In fact, next weekend, I'm going to do a whole weekend just on the gift of healing, because that's one of the ones I get a lot of questions about. I'm going to tell you four different stories of physical healing, three of them from within the life of our church, one of them from outside the life of our church. But here's what I want you to hear, that it is clear in Scripture that you can ask God's Holy Spirit to give you a particular gift that you desire. You can ask Him. Why else would it say that you should eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit if then you aren't allowed to ask for them? Like if I tell my children, I want you to eagerly desire something, and they're like, all right, I eagerly desire it, but Dad, I'm not certain if I'm allowed to ask you for it. It's like, no, I'm putting the desire in you because I want you to begin to ask me for it. And then I want you to trust me enough that I'll be at work in your life to give you the gift as I would determine would be best. So we are free to ask. And according to the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit is free, quote, to distribute them to each one just as He determines. Now, we already saw that from God's Word. But sometimes we can think that that determination is static. And what I mean by that is this, is we can think, well, the Holy Spirit just kind of does whatever He wants to do, and I have no part to play in that whatsoever. That's not how I understand how God's Holy Spirit works according to the Scripture. that the Holy Spirit has the freedom to give the gifts just as he determines, but maybe part of what he's waiting for is, Tom, will you seek me for this particular gift and ask me for it? Will you do that? And then that might influence what gift I choose to give you and in what manner I choose to give it. But here's the reality, that every single one who is a follower of Jesus Christ, you have been given a spiritual gift. You maybe have been given more than one, but you definitely have been given at least one. Oftentimes we have kind of a couple gifts that are kind of a cluster that work together, but everybody has at least one. The second thing is this, that God determines your spiritual gifts and you determine their strength. In the Bible, Timothy apparently had the spiritual gift of evangelism because Paul writes to him in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, it says, "But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." Now, we can think, well, okay, God has given me a spiritual gift or gifts, and whatever capacity that they currently are, whatever capacity that currently is, that's all that God wants for me. But that's not how it works. Earlier in the same letter to Timothy, Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, he says this, "This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you." Meaning he laid his hands on him, he prayed for him. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." That phrase there, fan into flames, is an interesting word. It's only used once in all of the Bible. And if you break it apart in the original language, it literally means to stir up the living fire. To stir up the living fire. In other words, God has given you a certain ability, a certain spiritual gift. He's given you an ability that you then need to respond to. So he's given you an ability, and you respond to that ability. And when you respond to that ability, it is your responsibility. That's where we get the word from, right? That we're responding to the ability that God has given us to grow our spiritual gift. Spiritual gifts tend to fade in strength whenever they are not used or encouraged. Whatever it means to stir up the living fire, it clearly requires human cooperation. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't be saying that. He says, Timothy, fan into flames the gift that was given to you. So Timothy has a role to play in that. See, we can fall into this trap and we can think, well, either I have a spiritual gift or I don't have this particular spiritual gift. So you can think, well, look, either I have the gift of leadership or I don't have the gift of leadership. Or either I have the gift of mercy or I don't have it. Or I have the gift of giving and generosity or I don't. Or the gift of healing or I don't. Or I have the gift of evangelism or I don't. But there's a third option that's in the middle, that you have it, but you are not fanning it into flames. That it's in you, that God has given it to you. It's a little bit like a pilot light that's on, but now you have to determine if you're going to turn up, fan the flames. In fact, hopefully we have this little video that'll come up. And this is in my backyard. Kind of God gives you that little bit, and now you begin to fan it into flames, and you begin to see the fire go up. How do you do that? Well, you pray, you seek mentors, you read on it. Most of all, you actually begin to use it, and you see the flame begins to grow as you do that. But then maybe you get a little discouraged and a little tired. Maybe you get a little busy and you get a little frustrated. And so slowly you will begin to see that you can kind of let the fire kind of go back down a little bit. Maybe somebody kind of annoys you, like, I'm not going to use my gift of mercy. I'm not going to use my gift of leadership. And it gets real low again. But then once again, you make the decision, God, would you just blow your wind? Would you fan the flames that you've put in me? And he begins to build it up again through a mentor. You begin to step out. You begin to go again. You begin to say, okay, I'm going to do this again. I'm going to step out again. I'm going to use it again. And you see the flame begin to rise again. God has given you a spiritual gift, but you get to determine if you will fan it into its full potential and into its full flame. For example, I believe that I have the gift of leadership. I've had lots of people say that to me. But you know, I've noticed something, that what can happen is if I want to grow that, I not only pray and I step out and lead stuff, I get around mentors and I read on leadership and I ask people who I think even have greater gifts of leadership to lay hands on me and pray for me that I would grow and what God wants to do for me. But then I'll step out and lead something and it doesn't work. It's like, I tried it, it didn't work. And now I have to decide how I'm going to respond. See, what happens oftentimes is that you can have a gift, you step out to begin to use it, and if you don't bat 1,000, you think, I must not have that gift. Let me just tell you right now that even when you have a spiritual gift, that does not mean you're going to bat 1,000 every time you step out to use it. You can have the gift of spiritual leadership, and not everything you do is going to necessarily be this raging success. You can have the spiritual gift of mercy, and not everybody's going to say, oh, thank you so much for being so merciful to me. You might have the spiritual gift of administration. You might have the spiritual gift of healing. That doesn't mean every single person you ever pray for is going to get well. It means that you step out by faith and you use it. And whenever there comes kind of this, oh, that didn't go so well, you have to decide, am I going to stand in faith and be resilient and say, God, would you teach me? Would you mature me? Would you help me grow? Would you help me keep stepping forward? God determines the spiritual gift, but you get to determine the capacity, how brightly it will burn, based on whether or not you will stir up the living fire that he's gifted you with. That's why Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:14, do not neglect your gift. When you neglect your gift, it's like in that video, you see the fire just kind of goes down to a little blue flame. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you and prayed for you, right? That's what it's talking about there. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them. What matters? What is he talking about? He's talking about don't neglect your gift. Be diligent to these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. You see, your spiritual gift can grow and be strengthened, and you can make progress with it, and God will be cheering you on as you maximize and steward what he has entrusted to you. He's given you something, but you have a role to play, not only knowing what it is, but then saying, okay, God, I want to maximize this. I want to fan it into full flame. Help me grow in this. Get me around people that will pray for me. But most of all, I want to learn how to be obedient in what you've asked me to do. If you have the spiritual gift of mercy, reading books on mercy isn't all God wants you to do. He wants you to actually be merciful. If you have the spiritual gift of evangelism, he doesn't only want you to read about evangelism, he wants you to do the work of the evangelist, right? And the list goes on with all of the other spiritual gifts as well. The third thing that we see is this, is that God designed our spiritual gifts to work together to build up the church. To achieve what you want to achieve, you most times need to partner with others in life. Consider the story of a guy named John Collins. John Collins wanted to break the Guinness World Record for the longest paper airplane flight. That was what he had set out to do. So he spent 3 years perfecting the design of his paper plane model. He called it Suzanne after his wife, and he was hoping that this was the perfect design to break the world record for a paper airplane toss. And so he got the design and worked on it, and he threw it. And it went far, but it didn't go far enough. And he threw it again, and it went far, it didn't go far enough. Threw it again, it went 150 feet. I mean, that's pretty far, right? But that wasn't far enough. You see, success wasn't guaranteed for him, even though he knew how to make the best paper airplane in the world. He thought he did have the best design, but he really then slowly began to recognize, I'm not certain that the design is the problem. I think the problem is my arm strength. I don't think I can throw it well enough. I think I've designed the best in the world, but I don't have the best throwing arm in the world. So he decided to connect up with a partner, a guy named Joe Ube, a former college football quarterback. And on February 26, 2012, the pair broke the world record that had stood for almost a decade. Joe Ube threw a paper airplane 226 feet and 10 inches. It is a paper airplane that he did not design, but he had the arm to throw it. In fact, I didn't want to just tell you about it. I want you to actually see the world record-breaking airplane. This has no theological significance, but I wanted you to see it anyways.
There it is. There it is. We are all over that one. That's going to do it. Get up there. Get up there. Get up there. Get up there. Get up there.
That is the world record toss, right? Now, why did I show you that? I showed you that because of this. What they accomplished, neither one of them could accomplish alone. What they accomplished together, neither one of them would accomplish alone. John Collins couldn't throw it that far, and Joe Ube couldn't design the plane. But together, they were able to accomplish more than what they could do individually. It's the same with those of us who are followers of Christ. As fun as it is to bring out the full potential of a paper airplane, God has designed our spiritual gifts to work together to bring out the full potential of something much more dear to Him, His church. And you get to be part of that. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says it this way, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12, it says this, and the same is true for you. Since you're eager to have the special abilities that the Holy Spirit gives, seek those that will strengthen the whole church. The spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives you are so that you can strengthen the local church on our shared life and mission together. In fact, 1 Corinthians 12, which starts out talking about spiritual gifts, it goes on to compare the different spiritual gifts with their unique abilities to the different parts of a human body. It says in verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 12, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body. Now, he's talking here not just about a physical body. He's using the physical body as a metaphor for the body of Christ, the church, that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each of one of you is a part of it. None of us can say to the other one, I don't need you. None of us can say to the other one, I don't need your spiritual gift. No, I need your spiritual gift. I need you to strengthen me, and you need my spiritual gifts to strengthen you. That's why when people say to me sometimes, I love Jesus, but I don't need the church, that's absolutely wrong. God designed it so that we cannot say to one another, I do not need you. When we say, I don't need anyone else, I'm my own person, I can do whatever I want, that is a sign of our culture more than a sign of God's word and heart in our life. God's word makes it clear that our spiritual gifts are to serve one another and love and build each other up. It always amazes me that God has given me spiritual gifts to help strengthen others, and that He's given others spiritual gifts to help strengthen me. That my spiritual gifts aren't just for me, that I have the joy of getting to use them to strengthen others, and I receive from others. In fact, even this week, I was sitting down to write one of the messages that's going to be coming down the line, and I had a pile of mail there, and one of them I opened up as just a note card, and it was just from somebody encouraging. and just saying, hey, I'm just grateful for you. Thank you. I'm looking forward to this series. I have a lot to learn about how God wants to be at work in my life and the Holy Spirit. And I immediately emailed the person back and I just said, hey, your gift right here of encouragement is strengthening me as I'm sitting down preparing to write the next message. The next message will be better because of the fact that you use your gift of encouragement. One of my favorite passages from God's Word is 1 Peter 4, beginning in verse 8. It says this, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. And here's the phrase I just love. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. That God's grace takes on these various forms that He's put in each one of us, that we can fan that into flame and we can strengthen and build one another up into complete unity and maturity in Jesus Christ. I love that, that we get to be faithful steward of God's grace in its various forms. You know, every time the Bible talks about spiritual gifts, it always talks about spiritual gifts in the context of two things, love and faith. Love and faith. Because of the Holy Spirit's love for us, He has given us spiritual gifts to serve one another. Because of our gratitude and love for that form of God's grace entrusted to us, we want to be people who by faith trust that God has given us that spiritual gift and that we can fan that living fire into full flame. So when you see a local church fully committed to one another, each part doing its best to do what they can do, not trying to be great at everything, but trying to be really great at the spiritual gift that God has given you, you are seeing God's grace in action. God's grace made tangible in your life. God's grace with skin on. Romans 12:6 says it this way, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each one of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. So if your spiritual gift is serving, serve. Don't ask why everybody else isn't serving. Your spiritual gift is serving, then you serve. If your spiritual gift is leadership, you don't sit around and say, well, why isn't anybody else leading? Well, because you're supposed to be leading. If your spiritual gifts of helps, don't say, why isn't anybody else helping? Then just help. Just help. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. God, may that be true of us. Let's pray. So God, would you now apply your word to our life? There's four groups that as I prayed through this time this weekend, I wanted to address. First is this, that if you are a Christ follower, if you're a Christian, but you don't know your spiritual gift or gifts, your next step is to discover your spiritual gift and then use it to build up the church. I already said you can go to cachurch.com to click to the link to take the spiritual gifts test. You can ask mature believers what they think your gift might be. Ask God right now, God, would you show me what the spiritual gift is that you've put in me. Maybe it's more than one, but it's at least one. So if that's you, just say, God, here I am. I want you to show me over the next week what my spiritual gift is. Others of you, you know what your spiritual gift or gifts might be. You know that, but you, as I speak, you're like, oh, I know that I have that gift, but if I'm honest, I'm not fully fanning it into flames. So right now, just right here, just ask God, God, would you just give me one thing I can do to turn up the fuel on the spiritual gift you've given me, to fan it into flames? Maybe you know a mature believer, ask them, just say, hey, this is my spiritual gift. What's something that you think I could do that would help me to fan it into greater flames? But most of all, start using it. Step out and start serving. Serving together is simply the best way to identify, use, and develop your gifts to help this church become all that we can be together for God's glory. The third thing that I wanted to mention, and this could apply to maybe the previous two groups or others, is maybe as you hear this, you've never asked the Holy Spirit to give you a specific gift. You wish you had it. You want it. And you want it not because you want to lord it over others or not because you just want to say, hey, I have that gift. But you want it because you want to use it to build up others in their faith. You can ask the Holy Spirit to give you a specific spiritual gift. You can do it in the confidence of God's word that says, eagerly desire the gifts. So you're free to ask, and the Holy Spirit is free to distribute the gifts. Those two things are not separate. I believe the Holy Spirit is looking to give gifts to those who are seeking those specific spiritual gifts. So right now, whatever gift it is that you're like, you know, I really would love to have this particular spiritual gift so that I could use it to serve others. I'm going to talk about this next week, but I've been praying that God would give me the spiritual gift of healing. And then 3 weeks ago, somebody said, hey, would you pray for my back? And I said, okay, here we go. I'm going to walk in faith, God, believing that this is a moment that you're going to do something. 2 days later, he said, I don't know what happened when you and the others prayed, but my back is better. I don't know what gift you're asking God to give you that maybe you don't have, and you're saying, God, would you give me this particular gift? Eagerly desire the gifts. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you that gift even now. The fourth group, those of you who know and are fanning your gift into flames and are serving motivated by love, I just want to say thank you and well done. I want you to hear thank you and well done from God the Father and the Son and the Spirit. I hope that you're finding purpose and joy and belonging as you use your spiritual gift to its full capacity, as you build up this local community with the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given you. You know, look, the reality is that there's always new people coming to this church. In fact, we're averaging 200 more people this quarter than we did the same quarter a year ago. And so there are more people coming to Christ. There are more people that need to be built up. There are more people that need to be taught, that need to be served, that need to be discipled, that need to be prophesied over, that need a prophetic word, a word of wisdom, that need physical healing. There are people that are all around you that need that. And so keep on using it. Our series question, if the Holy Spirit's left your life, would you notice or anyone around you? Well, if your spiritual gift is being fanned into full flame by you, then you can answer a confident yes, that you would notice and others would notice if that spiritual gift just left your life. And then the final thing I want to say is this. On Thursday, June 6th at 7 p.m., we are going to do an evening of prayer ministry and worship. I couldn't come up with a better title, so that's what I'm calling it. And right now, you don't need to know much about it other than June 6th, 7 p.m. Next week, we'll start taking RSVPs. I want you to look at your schedule this week. We won't be able to provide childcare, but I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to come. You're going to hear a few testimonies. I'm just going to read a few scriptures. And then all these things we've been talking about, I'm going to have prayer teams. And whatever it is that you're like, I wish someone would pray for me about that. I wish someone would pray for me to release more of that gift. I've got a physical health thing. I wish somebody would give me a prophetic word. I wish somebody would unify my relationship. I wish I could confess my sin. All the things the Holy Spirit does, we're just going to create that opportunity in an unrushed space, in a climate of belief and trust for you to be prayed for, if you would want that. Now, I don't know if it's going to be me and my wife here by ourselves or if others will say, no, let's do this together. And so you'll hear more about it next week, but I wanted you to just be aware. So, God, we thank you for your goodness. Would you continue to be at work among us, God? I pray for your power of the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, to give us the spiritual gifts you want us to have, that we would know them and use them, that we would not be uninformed about them, and that we would not only know about them, but that we would fan them into full flame, and we would see your bride be built up, your church be built up in greater unity and love to serve one another and to serve a hurting world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.